Hi, this is Robert Helms, and thanks for listening to the Real Estate Guys podcast. Hey, do me a favor. Take a quick moment to give us some feedback on our iTunes page. We'd really love to know what you think. Thanks so much. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. In these crazy times, folks are looking for cash flow, but the question is, how do I really find a property that'll cash flow? That's our topic today. We've got an expert on the program that's going to show you some great ideas on how to create real cash flow properties in your portfolio. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio Network.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiopodcast.com/realestateguys today for details.
Go online with the Real Estate Guys.
The Real Estate Guys need your help.
We're conducting an online survey to learn more about the information that you're looking for and how we can help grow the Real Estate Guys radio program. Just a few minutes of your time will help us help you.
While you're online, subscribe to our e-newsletter. You'll automatically be entered to win a cruise with the Real Estate Guys.
Help us to help you. Go online with the Real Estate Guys at realestateguysradio.com.
realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. What do you invest in these days? Well, of course, one of the things people are looking at is cash flow properties. Give me cash flow. I want positive cash flow. Three words that investors like to use together. The challenge is almost everything that comes across my desk says that it has positive cash flow. How do you know a property has the best chance for cash flow? That's what we're going to talk about on today's program. Let's meet our co-host and financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
Hey there. This is one of your favorite topics.
It is. It is. It is absolutely one of my favorite topics because cash flow is staying power. You know, right now there are people who speculated on real estate, bought properties with negative cash flow, betting that it would go up. And I think in a large degree, many people were prudently setting aside reserves to feed that based on historical models of appreciation. And all those models have blown up, which is really at the core of our problem. I mean, a lot of the models that were built into the mortgage-backed security rating system blew up. And so, you know, you can only beat yourself up so much for some of that. But the bottom line is if you have a property anywhere that is paying for itself with the rental income and the tax breaks, then that's like a free property as long as you don't get sucked into the money pit and have to continue to feed the alligator. If you know
well,
I mean.
Now that's a big as long as because I'll tell you what, having invested in some pretty neat cash flow properties over the years, one of the properties that we have has been positive cash flow for well over 5 years. But not a month goes by that we don't have to talk to the property manager about either a unit that got trashed or we need a roof or this happened or that happened or the water heater, blah, blah, blah. Now we got professional management to handle that. But one of the aspects of the show this week is we're not just talk about finding real cash flow, but here's a cute couple of words, low maintenance cash flow properties, right? Because for me, I want to compare it to other investments that are maybe a little more hands-off. You're going to have to get your hands dirty to go out and find these properties. No one's going to just show up and hand it to you. But if you go through the work and find a property based on the parameters we're going to talk about today, then you can really set it up so it is virtually maintenance-free. It's not going to be maintenance-free. There's always going to be something that happens, right? But if you can be in areas where there are some of the keys that we're going to talk about today, it's just going to be a lot less headache. And today, people have all kinds of headaches when it comes to the properties that they've invested in. And because they've been through, you know, this last couple of years, they're like, well, this time I'm going to play differently. This time I'm going to make sure that no matter what, I'm in a position to get cash flow from my properties, which is a good mindset, but it's easier to say than it is to do.
Yes, it is. And that's because there's always these hidden expenses. So one of your major skill sets as a cash flow investor, really any investor, is to go in and just understand the bigger picture of what you're buying. And I know we're going to cover a lot of that on the show, but it does speak to the importance of being educated and understanding what you're purchasing. I think one of the other things that is going to make cash flow properties very interesting right now is because you do have to have staying power. I don't think anybody's expecting real estate to hyper-appreciate in the next year or 2 years. I think that if we look at what's going on our economy, with how much money we're printing, at some point inflation is going to be an issue. It hasn't been an issue because we've lost so much leverage. We've kind of deleveraged, so that leverage is such a big part of our purchasing power in this economy that we've seen a retraction. But it's really, I think, temporary, and they're pumping this economy up every which way, and sooner or later that's going to catch. And when that gets traction, I think inflation and anything that rides up as a result of inflation, which real estate would definitely be on that list, you're going to have a good chance to make some appreciation. But probably for at least the next 3 to 5 years minimum, you need to be prepared to hold on, and cash flow is the key.
Yeah, for sure. It's a much different time perspective than it used to be. And cash flow properties really are like that, right? The folks that invest in property that over time builds up cash flow and just sits there spitting off cash, love those properties. That's a long-term investment. Cash flow investment by its very nature is not a short-term flip. It's a property you're planning to hold for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, forever.
Right.
Right? I remember Walter Sanford, when he's been on the show, has talked about, you know, one of his things in his personal investment philosophy is, I want to broach buying a property as though my family would own it forever. It's not a transitionary property. Doesn't mean I'm going to keep it forever. I might do a 1031 exchange. I might decide to leverage into something else. But I want to go in with the perspective that it's a property I'm going to keep in my portfolio for a long time. And when we had the run up in 04 and 05 in those years, it was easy to make money on a property short term and get out, even if that wasn't your plan. If you had a 5-year hold as your ideal scenario, and you got 5 years worth of appreciation in the first year and a half with lots of people to have, then you were tempted to just move on to the next thing, and that might have worked. But in today's economy, and even in any economy, if you can get your property set so that it provides a degree of stability and positive cash flow, then you don't have to worry about it. And maybe it's not your whole portfolio. Maybe, I mean, we're equity investors at our core, which means we know that we're going to make money long term when a property goes up. How does that work here? You buy a cash flow property that over time your tenants pay your mortgage off until one day you own it outright. Well, guess what? That's equity. And it's one of our favorite types of equity, right? It's a tenant paid equity. You're amortizing your loan and paying it down over time. So lots of ways to make money in real estate, probably more so than ever. Cash flow is on people's mind. And so we'd like to introduce you to our guest. He's coming back on the program. He was on our show probably about a year ago talking about one of the great real estate transactions he did as a developer. And we've known each other now for many years. Please welcome back to the real estate show, real estate investor, broker, and developer, Mr. David Campbell. Hey, David.
It's a pleasure to be here today, Robert.
Glad to have you here. And I know that in your investment philosophy, it's changed over time. You've been involved on lots of different sides of the fence. You've been involved as a broker representing clients and brokering transactions. You've been involved on the lending side in terms of, you know, borrowing for property, structuring loans for construction and for development. You've done conversion and property development. And of course, you are an investor yourself and have had a great success at that. So great to have you back.
Thanks. Thanks very much. And I think it's important to, as an investor, to have a picture of all sides of the equation, both the financing and the investor and the brokerage side. It really makes me a well-rounded investor.
Well, that's what we thought. You'd be the perfect guest for today, talking about cash flow, because it's easy to say, okay, well, I want a cash flow property. What's harder is understanding what that really means and then figuring out how to find that. How do I find that?
One that will really cash flow,
right,
in the real world.
Everything cash flows on a pro forma statement, but what really cash flows? So let's talk about, I think, what some of the keys are to finding low maintenance cash flow properties. First of all, one of the huge keys is finding an area where the rent is stable. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. In areas where job growth is strong, you might see declining values, but you can count on rent income being there, versus some areas in California where a lot of investors are jumping for joy that they think they've found a cash flow deal because values have been cut in half. But in reality, there's going to be rent attrition just in a few months as values decline and the jobs leave. The renters are going to have more choice, and that means declining rent. So to me, job stability is huge, and population growth is huge too.
Yeah, you can't be in a one-story town. You know, I like to say that you want to pick, if I'm going to invest in real estate, I want to pick in a market that has at least five stories, five different things going on. There's not just one factory in town, and that's where all the jobs are, and that's why there's demand. Because if that changes, that industry changes, that company goes out of business, and we've seen some amazingly successful long-term billion-dollar companies gone out of business in the last year, let's not have our wagon hitched to just that. So I think you want to diversify when it comes to those companies. Of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the fundamentals for buying cash flow in many cases are very similar to when you're buying an equity property. You're looking for the drivers, not only just in a general marketplace, like this marketplace has good employment, but when you're looking at buying a specific property, because real estate is property specific, where are the employers for that property? I mean, really, someone's going to drive 10, 20, 30 minutes to a job, and your part of the Metroplex might be totally different than where the job centers are.
Yeah, good point. Now, last week on the show, we talked about the top 10 reasons to be glad the economy sucks. One of the main reasons was that real estate and everything else is on sale right now. So to your point, places like California that were never considered cash flow properties, there are prices have come down to the point that they might cash flow. The challenge, though, is can that continue? If the jobs aren't there, then there's lots of people with properties that are the prices have gone down. There's competition for that. And, you know, on the positive side, you have fewer people that are able to maybe qualify to purchase today that have to rent somewhere. But what are people doing? They aren't necessarily going to the most expensive areas. And so the absolute dollars, for instance, let's just talk for a minute about what area of price range tends to make sense for cash flow. Is it the $1 million plus housing market?
No, that's a very good point. Is the actual price point of the product is really important. And my experience is that the lower end of the market, but not the bottom of the market, is really where the best cash flow is. You might see better in theory numbers from C-class, very, very, very low, but today's topic is how to get cash flow with low headaches.
If you don't mind an 80% expense ratio.
And pay for your bullets and other...
Right. And just the pain and the, you know, rear factor in that is that, you know, I mean, I've been a C-class investor a long time. I was on-site residential manager, as you guys know, and had to deal with that on a daily basis. And the cash flow can be good in those situations, but the price you pay is extremely hands-on management. And what we're looking for, at least the topic of today's show, is how can we make the best investment we can in a property that has a great likelihood to have good cash flow, but not have our phone ringing every day. Something that we can kind of spend time on, getting it in place, purchasing it, and getting it into a program where we don't have to worry about it. That's what we're talking about on the show today. Our guest is David Campbell, investor and broker and developer. And stay with us. We're the Real Estate Guys. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad's advisor. Remember, equity happens, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
This week's radio program is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like The Real Estate Guys can on our weekly podcast. In fact, we were just talking about Rich Dad's Prophecy, which is one of the many books available on Audible.com. And if you'll log on to audiblepodcast.com/Real Estate Guys, you can get a free audiobook of your choice. It could be Rich Dad's Prophecy. It could be thousands and thousands of books. Just pick one. Download it for free. It's pretty cool stuff. So what you do is you go to audiblepodcast.com/Real Estate Guys. That's audiblepodcast.com/Real Estate Guys for your free audio book.
Crikey! Local real estate market a little slow? If there's no appreciation, there's no equity. No worries. There are lots of markets and many are booming. G'day mate, this is Luke Chadwick, the Deal Hunter with Global Property Network. I spend most of my time travelling all over the US and the world, hunting down hot markets, great properties and expert agents. Give us a ring at 1-877-411-4GPN and we'll connect you to great agents in great markets with great deals. That's 1-877-411-4476. Well, mate, gotta go. To learn more, go to globalpropertynetwork.com or call us at 1-877-411-4GPN. Don't be shy. Do it now.
In today's crazy economy, you name it, what aren't you worried about? I mean, there's your 401k, banks are failing, and it just seems every day there is more bad economic news. That's why I decided it's time to take action and invest in physical silver. I really like the idea of investing in something I can touch and own, not just a piece of paper that can disappear like some of my stock funds. Silver's a great hedge against inflation, and unlike gold, silver has a huge industrial demand, which is why some analysts expect it to dramatically rise in value. I also found the biggest challenge in owning silver is finding a place to buy it. I then was lucky that a friend told me about RBOR. They specialize in 100-ounce pure silver bars, perfect for an investor like me. Here's their number, 800-395-1123. That's 800-395-1123. I know their supply is limited. It's 800-395-1123.
Are you worried about your future energy costs? With oil prices recently coming back down, many Americans are being lulled into thinking that all will be well and good. But experts predict utility companies are going to see an unprecedented rise in costs as President-elect Obama is planning huge tax penalties for the use of dirty fuel. What can you do about it? Consider solar. Clean, green solar energy is cheaper and easier than you might imagine. Solar Masters is a solar electric generation installation company dedicated to bringing you the highest quality products to develop your own clean energy. And you'll be surprised at how affordable it can be. An installation of solar electric can be your insurance policy against future rate hikes. Solar Masters is offering listeners an unbelievable special. For a limited time, when you mention the Real Estate Guys, you'll get your system installed free of labor costs. Call now at 888-757-7677 or visit solarmastersinc.com. You can reduce or even in some cases even eliminate your electric bill. Call Solar Masters at 888-757-7677 to find out more. Tell them you heard it on the Real Estate Guys. Call 888-757-7677 today.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Our guest this week, David Campbell, real estate investor, broker, and developer. You know, David, if you just got an attorney on your business card, then you could kill your own deals.
I'm working on that, Robert.
Okay, there you go. We're talking about how do you find low-maintenance cash flow properties today. Everyone says, well, cash flow is back. There are places we can go to get cash flow, and while that is true, I think there's a lot of places that it doesn't really work out that way. It seems like it would be a good market, and yet you've got to look closer. So we're talking about some of the things that you should be looking for, especially when it comes to it being low maintenance. And so I think we need to talk about management. Management is huge when it comes to real estate, and especially because I'm going to guess by the time we go through all these factors that the ideal marketplace for you to buy a cash flow property in with great potential for the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years is not going to be in the neighborhood most people live in. So it means you're probably going to have to go either into another area of your state or into another state to buy a property. And that means long distance management. Management is the key to great property holdings.
You know, if you're going to hire a babysitter, do you care about the character, the work ethic, the experience of that person? If you're a business owner and you're going to hire a manager, somebody to come in and run your business, and you're going to be an absentee owner, do you care? If you're going to buy a mutual fund, do you care about the skill, the experience, the track record of the manager? It's just everything. And, you know, you have to realize that it's just not, it's not like some little service provider. This person is almost like a partner. They're going to get a piece of your revenue. They're going to be dealing directly with your customers. They're going to be bearing the responsibility to keep you out of legal trouble with respect to tenant-landlord law and compliance and all of that. So having the right manager is everything in income property, especially when you're distance managing.
Now, you know, we have once a year at our mentoring clubs that we do locally in California, we have Halloween horror stories. And David, you've been kind enough to share some of those stories with us. And a couple of them I know have been around property management. You've had some great managers and you've had some problem managers. How do you find a great property manager?
Yeah, that's a great question, Robert. The first place I look for is I pretend that I'm a tenant. I pretend that I'm a customer and I'm looking for a rental property in a marketplace. Who has the best market presence? When I call them as a prospective tenant, how do they treat me as a customer? Because yep, that's how they're going to treat my customers. And then to build on Russ's point, it's so when I'm looking for a property to buy as an investor, I like to start with the property manager first, because I go to the property manager and I say, what do you want to manage? And what property is going to make the best rental? Because so many people buy what they think is good and then they try to cram it into the property manager box. And there's certain properties that do better as rentals than others. Like a 6-bedroom house, probably not a good rental property, because there's even though it might be in the right neighborhood and the numbers might make sense, it's kind of a rental albatross. Then people really want 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 4-bedroom.
College students do.
Yeah, the exact wrong demographic.
Exactly.
You've got, I'll rent the house, dude, and I'll rent out all the rooms. It'll be great. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And maybe on the other side, a 1-bedroom house. right?
Right.
Less utility and so forth. So you definitely have to be thinking through that. But your point's a great one. If you start with the manager, here's another thing. If I'm, let's say I'm going to, part of our mission is to go find a marketplace, and we'll get to that. But if I'm, one of the things I'm going to look for is a manager in the marketplace. The real estate broker, and you know, David, you're a broker. I've sold real estate for years, happily inactive now. Russ, you've been around, you're licensed, right? You've been around a lot of brokers. The real estate broker who wants to sell you the property is going to have some information. But it's going to be geared towards buying the property. The property manager doesn't have any vested interest in which property you buy, right? They're not going to, let's say rents. I want to say, well, what's it going to rent for? The broker will say, oh, easily $1,500. We'll get $1,500 all day.
So you'll buy it.
Right. The property manager is going to tell you the truth. Because they're the ones that if you hire them, we're going to have to bring that $1,500. And it might be $1,500. Well, probably not. Probably more like $1,250. That's important. So I think sometimes the information you get from a property manager is less colored. But also, you want to be in a property that you're going to be able to find competent management for. And we've all known marketplaces where property managers don't touch the properties.
Yeah, and there's some people who only want to go to property managers that just manage and they don't broker because they see a conflict of interest. And I am a fan of the broker property manager that has a company that works collaboratively because a good property manager – doesn't make a whole lot of money. There's not a lot of money in property management, but there's a lot of money in brokerage. And so the brightest stars that I found, they attract clients through property management. They make their money as a broker, and then they retain really good customer relationships for the life of that property ownership so that when you as an investor want to sell
– Or buy more,
then they've got your business.
What about the property managers who get to step on the expenses?
Well,
we don't want them doing that for extra income. We'd rather have them selling a house every now and then for a little extra income.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you can imagine a 10% management on a $1,000 house is $100 a month. And after they pay their brick and mortar overhead, and there's not a lot to live on to attract the best and brightest.
Well, you know, in the real estate industry, kind of the ugly stepchild, if you will, is property manager. Nobody wants that job. It's a terrible job. And to your point, it's a great one. If I'm looking to be I'm the customer as the owner of the property, right? And my client is the renter, and I don't want to be taken care of, and I want my client to be taken care of. I got to have someone that has a reason, a motivation to service me. And it's not going to be necessarily the monthly. That's going to float their overhead perhaps. But ultimately what they want is they want me to be successful as an investor. So I will buy more property for them to manage. And when it comes time to sell, that they'll be able to broker that deal as well. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. And think about a property manager who is the broker. If there's ever an expense that's kind of marginal, maybe the broker made an error and they could charge that expense onto you or they could eat it. A broker who knows that potentially by eating that expense, they're going to make you a fan and potentially sell you more property, that broker has a margin to eat that expense into versus someone who's making, you know, a couple bucks a month. They might want to eat that expense, but they just simply can't. Their margin isn't enough.
Right. And by the way, just a quick aside on property managers, don't pick the cheapest one. That's not the reason to choose your property managers. Well, this guy charges 10, but this guy only charges 7.5. Boy, probably in property management more than any other area, you get what you pay for. Right? You want your property manager to be successful. I mean, you really want them to
sure.
be profitable and successful so they have a reason to wake up every day and manage your property.
Yeah, good property management pays. It's not a cost.
Excellent point. All right, so management, there's more, of course, to find out about management. But let's talk about, we talked about kind of the price point, not being at the very bottom end of the market, but certainly not the high end of the market. What I think is more specifically, you want to look at a market, and there's several of these markets nationwide where, for whatever reason, rents are good, rents are strong, and they're at a high, you know, comparatively to the purchase price, what we call a low gross rent multiplier, where the amount of the rent that you get monthly is a fairly high number. And those markets stick out. It doesn't seem to make any sense when you're looking across the macro environment to say, well, wait a minute, a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house here rents for $1,250. That same exact house over here rents for $850, but the house is more expensive in that marketplace. So I think that you can exploit those differences if you're careful and find those marketplaces.
There's a lot of markets in the country where it's cheaper to own than rent. And that seems backwards. It should, shouldn't it always be cheaper to rent?
Rent, right.
Yeah, but there are markets where, for whatever reason, and there, I think some of the reasons might be in areas that appreciate slowly. If someone is new to a marketplace, they're hesitant to buy because they know it'll be 3 or 4 years before they can recoup their transaction costs on the deal. Another great place to look is very strong metropolitan areas with job growth that are absorbing people who are leaving high-cost areas that just lost their home in foreclosure. So people who are flooding out of, you know, high-cost California into low area to less expensive areas like Texas, people are showing up to the marketplace, and maybe they had a job transfer and they wanted to sell their home in California, but the market took their equity away. And so now they've got a foreclosure on their record or a short sale on their record, and their job moved them to a low-cost area and they want to buy, but they simply can't because of their credit.
Well, and they don't have any down payment because normally they'd bring the equity from the previous home forward, and they can't do that. There is no equity. And in today's loans, the 100 days of 100% financing, even on owner-occupied, I mean, I'm not saying it can't be done, but very, very difficult. You've got to be really pristine. And right away, if you've relocated, you're out of the gate because you got a brand new job. You're not 2 years seasoned in your income. So I think that, you know, that's another reason why there's opportunity. There's going to be marketplaces like that where people who would normally want to be buyers, and buyers are good. I mean, you want people to come in and want to buy because their demand is going to drive up the value of your property. But until they can buy, what do you want them to do?
You want them to rent from me.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, and that it's a moving platform. I think probably with what's happening in the economy, we're seeing a lot of folks who are changing their physical location because of the cost of living. Right? You see a cost of living play. I mean, our television show tapes outside of Dallas, Texas, in Addison. And so Russ and I have been traveling to Texas on and off for the last few years filming our TV show. I know you think it's filmed in Hollywood, but no, it's a great marketplace for television actually in Texas. People don't realize how much television is produced there. We certainly didn't. But we look at the property values there, and coming from California, it's amazing. I mean, it's a 3-for-1 sale.
Yeah.
You know, to buy your exact same house.
That's the price? I thought that was a down payment.
Exactly. You live in Southern California, you can replace your exact house on more acreage in a more tax-friendly environment for a third of the cost. Now, I'm not advocating moving to Texas. I'm just saying that there is a huge difference.
But a lot of people are doing
it.
Think about the state of California, just for example. It's got a huge population, very high prices. We just jacked up our sales tax, right, in California.
Ow.
We are making, there's all kinds of talk about increasing the income tax. So at the end of the day, if I'm making money and I think I can go cut my cost of living and reduce my taxes and be in an environment that is maybe a little bit more conducive towards having positive cash flow in the rest of my life, those types of markets are very attractive right now in this economy.
Right. And even though you might not be thinking about going there, you know that if that's the path of progress, so to speak, maybe there's a great opportunity as an investor. We're talking about keys to finding low maintenance cash flow properties on the show today. When we come back, we're going to play real estate trivia, give you a chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio Network. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
All aboard! Set sail with the Real Estate Guys on their 7th annual Investors Summit at Sea. Aboard ship, you'll enjoy first-class dining, awesome entertainment, 24-hour room service, and plenty of fun activities. Unwind at the piano bar, check out the casino action, or stay in touch at the Internet Cafe. Plus, hang out with the Real Estate Guys for a week you'll never forget. We depart from Fort Lauderdale March 21st for Panama, Costa Rica, and Belize, and return March 29th. Call 877-WOW-CRUISE to learn more. That's 877-WOW-CRUISE, or go to wowevents.com. There are plenty of great cabins left, but the Investor Summit always sells out. Call 877-WOW-CRUISE to talk to our cruise specialist, Mary Lynn. That's 877-969-2784. 877-WOW-CRUISE. Don't miss the boat.
Chadwick. Look, Chadwick.
Real estate, like diamonds, are forever. So when it comes to real estate, never say never again. I travel the world for Global Property Network, spying out hot markets, experienced agents, and great deals. So if the world is not enough and you're looking for investment or vacation real estate anywhere in America or around the globe, call Global Property Network. I've got a gold finger for connecting you to great properties. You only live twice, so to grow your income for the second part of your life, you can live and let die, or you can go for it, like the living daylights. GPN is here to help. From Russia with love, this is Luke Chadwick for Global Property Network.
Give Luke and his team at Global Property Network a license to kill and find you income-producing property. Tomorrow never dies, so you need Luke to find properties and deals for your eyes only. Call Luke and GPN today, 877-411-4GPN. That's 877-411-4GPN. Or on the sponsors page at realestateguysradio.com.
In today's crazy economy, you name it, what aren't you worried about? I mean, there's your 401k, banks are failing, and it just seems every day there is more bad economic news. That's why I decided it's time to take action and invest in physical silver. I really like the idea of investing in something I can touch and own, not just a piece of paper that can disappear like some of my stock funds. Silver's a great hedge against inflation, and unlike gold, silver has a huge industrial demand, which is why some analysts expect it to dramatically rise in value. I also found the biggest challenge in owning silver is finding a place to buy it. I then was lucky that a friend told me about RBOR. They specialize in 100-ounce pure silver bars, perfect for an investor like me. Here's their number, 800-395-1123. That's 800-395-1123. I know their supply is limited. It's 800-395-1123.
Hello, Robert Kiyosaki. Listen to the Real Estate Guys. They're wild and crazy, but they really know what they're talking about.
Hey, thanks, Robert, and thanks to you for listening to our radio show now in its 11th broadcast year, every week on the radio and all the time at realestateguysradio.com. If you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do that. And when you do, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a cruise with the Real Estate Guys. Now, it's too late for this year, but next year's cruise you can. We do have a cabin available on our cruise, which leaves very soon. We get out of town on the 20th of this month, so if you're one of those folks that likes to wait to the last minute to get the good deals, this is last call. All aboard the Real Estate Guys Annual Investor Summit. We're going to Costa Rica, Panama, and Belize, and you can be with us if you call 877-WOW-CRUISE. We're talking this week about keys to finding low-maintenance cash flow properties, otherwise known as the holy grail of real estate investment. Lots of great ideas on that, but before we get back to the topic, let's play real estate trivia. Here's how that works. I'm going to ask you a trivia question that has something to do with real estate, and you are going to send us that answer along with your name and mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer wins a prize, and then we take everybody who guessed correctly and have a drawing for a second prize. That way, you don't have to be listening live on the radio. You can listen via podcast or MP3 afterwards and still be eligible. Pretty fair, I think. What's the prize, you ask? An autographed copy of Equity Happens, Building Lifelong Wealth with Real Estate, signed by the authors. We're able to find those guys and get them to sign it to you. And so that's going to be your prize if you know today's question, you know the answer to the question, and you're first to get it in, or your name comes out of the hat. So before we get to this week's real estate trivia question, we have to review last week's real estate trivia question. Last week, our show topic, the top 10 reasons to be glad the economy sucks. Here was our trivia question. What United States metro tops the list of affordability? What is the MSA, the Metropolitan Statistical Area, that is the most affordable? And it has been for like 14 or 15 quarters. And the answer is
Appalachia.
Appalachia. Close. It is Indianapolis, Indiana.
Really?
The most affordable metro in terms of, you know, buying a house. It's the most affordable. So there you go. That was the answer we talked about.
Income to price ratio, right? Uh-huh. Okay. So that lets out Appalachia because there is no income.
Right. So
nothing's affordable even though it's free.
Even though it's free. Right. Exactly. So and we talked about affordability being one of the great reasons that to be glad the economy sucks. We just didn't give you the answer, but now you know. It's how we get you to tune in next week. So how are we going to get you to tune in next week, this week? Well, we're going to give you today's real estate trivia question to give you a chance to win. Here it is. Over 40% of all the homes in the U.S. that are valued over $1 million are located in just one of the 50 states. Which state is it? If you know which state has over 40% of all the million-dollar-plus homes, then send that along with your name and mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. And if you're the first person or the drawing winner, you will have an autographed copy of Equity Happens, Building Lifelong Wealth with Real Estate. Learn more at equityhappens.com. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking today about the keys to finding low-maintenance cash flow properties. Our guest is David Campbell. Welcoming him back to the show. David is a real estate developer, broker, and investor who we have had enjoyed a nice relationship with for many, many years. And we thought this would be a good time to pick his brain on cash flow, because it's one of the things that you're helping folks do now, is look for cash flow marketplaces.
Yeah, cash flow is king. You know, cash is king, but cash flow is even better. And I like when you're an equity investor. And to me, amortization equity is the most powerful kind, because if the market goes up, you win. And if the market goes down and your tenant paid off your mortgage, you can still reap a very healthy profit, regardless of which way the home price goes.
Slow and steady wins the race. And so what we're concentrating on are properties where you have a very stable tenant base that decides to stay. And so that begs the question, what type of property makes sense? When we look at all the properties, right, we invest in land, we invest in commercial, we invest in retail. I know, David, you've got retail investment, you've done conversion, you own all kinds of different properties in different areas. But we look at the most stable tenant base. The tenant who's least likely to move, what is the best property to invest in from that angle?
Single-family homes.
I agree. Single-family homes, no homeowners association to deal with. You've got a stable, a family generally that will stay in the property, a three-bedroom, two-bathroom, or four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom home. Super, super stable. Now, some people argue, well, it's a business with a 10-year lease. Maybe, but there are challenges with commercial investment, not the least of which is the financing. And we'll talk about financing, obviously, because it's great for single family.
I own an office building, Robert, and it's leased to the state of California. How secure of a tenant can you have? And they have not paid their rent.
Really?
But wow. They're giving you those IOUs, right?
Yeah, and if they're not the Fed, you can't spend them.
I was going to say, but when they call you and ask you to pay your tax...
Can you write them an IOU?
Does that work out for you?
I somehow don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, not guessing that that's going
to
work.
Sounds like a double standard to me, but
I
could be wrong.
One of the things we always said about real estate is that it has intrinsic value. People don't have a choice. They have to live under a roof, right? Or an overpass. But long term, right, it needs to be real. And so single family homes are pretty stable. It's not the sexiest real estate investment necessarily, but to your point, David, about building amortized equity, you get a property and you find a loan, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because today, great, great loans available for people that can qualify for them. Interest rates are awesome. So if I know I'm going to set out to buy a cash flow property that's just going to throw off cash every single month for, say, the next 30 years, and I get a 30-year fixed loan that is amortizing the principal, in essence, I get a tenant in who pays enough to cover my mortgage, my principal, my interest, my taxes, my insurance, and a little more besides that I collect every month. And then, lo and behold, 30 years later, they still make the payment. Do we think that the rent on that house 30 years from now will be more or less?
Hopefully more,
right? And the amortization of the loan, every month I own more and more and more of the house because I owe less against it. My payment may not change if I have a fixed rate loan, but when it's paid off, guess what I have? I have a free and clear property, equity happened to me, and I still have a tenant, arguably maybe not the same tenant, but a tenant who's living in that house in a very stable rental relationship.
Yeah, that's so important, because if I have an office, the only tenant that I can put is an office tenant, which is a very small percentage of the population. If I've got a house, 100% of the population would potentially want to live in that property.
You know, it's also a less volatile market when you look at rent studies across the board, right? At the right time, it's great to be an office or even retail investor, because when people are paying a premium, like remember back about 1998, 1999 in the Bay Area. What a great time to own an office building.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
$4 a month.
Bucks a square foot a month. I mean, it was crazy. And then a funny thing happened. You know, I remember we had a building, a large over 50,000 square foot building, and one of our tenants was paying $4.40 a square foot. And 1 year later, market rent for that same space, $1.75.
Ouch.
That doesn't happen very often in single family. You're not going to have a neighborhood where they can rent a three-bedroom, two-bathroom home for $1,000, and a year later, it's $300. That doesn't work that way. Certainly, we've seen areas where the rent has gone down, but we've also seen areas that, despite all the economic trends recently, that rents are going up, because guess what? More people need to rent when they lose their home. More people need to rent when the economy is uncertain. People haven't saved up down payments. And so, in a lot of marketplaces, the right marketplace, there's more and not less renters.
Well, and small business people will shut their office down and move their business into their house. The other thing with the internet and the way e-commerce is taken over.
And not the other way around. You won't shut down your house and move into your office.
Very seldom. Right. Some people do it, but not very often. And so I think, you know, the idea is this is a different world. The old days, retail was pretty safe, especially you get these big box retailers, you get these, you know, national chains. But we've seen major national chains, big box retailers, lots of companies, franchise, that have gone out of business.
Big names. Montgomery Ward, Circuit City.
Big names. And so the nature of the retail industry has changed quite a bit as the internet continues to proliferate, and you've got the e-commerce and shopping and downloadable stuff. I mean, look at the music industry. How'd you like to own a music store or a video store and have that be your I got Blockbuster as my tenant. Well, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to be in that position in 3 or 4 or 5 years, but nothing's ever going to change in our lifetime where people are going to want a home to live in, to raise their family in. I just think that is so stable. And right now, in a market that, in an economy that is so unstable in so many ways, you flight to quality means go to things that are stable, that are predictable, that you can understand and control. And I just think this is one area where the timing could not be any better.
Well, and also on the single family front, if you think about that, right? I mean, it's one thing to invest in a condominium or townhouse, and that could work for you. But if you really think it's all going to just blow up, right, in the economy, owning an actual piece of land, there's intrinsic value in the land that you don't have when you own, you know, a condo on the 13th floor, right? You can control it. So that's just a worst case scenario, but there's something to owning land, right, that is a benefit. We'll talk more about some of the things that you need to be thinking about if you really want to find low maintenance cash flow properties. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Hi, this is Kendra Todd, winner of The Apprentice, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
All aboard. Set sail with The Real Estate Guys on their 7th annual Investors Summit at Sea. Aboard ship, you'll enjoy first-class dining, awesome entertainment, 24-hour room service, and plenty of fun activities. Unwind at the piano bar, check out the casino action, or stay in touch at the Internet Cafe. Plus, hang out with the Real Estate Guys for a week you'll never forget. We depart from Fort Lauderdale March 21st for Panama, Costa Rica, and Belize, and return March 29th. Call 877-WOW-CRUISE to learn more. That's 877-WOW-CRUISE or go to wowevents.com. There are plenty of great cabins left, but the Investor Summit always sells out. Call 877-WOW-CRUISE to talk to our cruise specialist, Mary Lynn. That's 877-969-2784. 877-WOW-CRUISE. Don't miss the boat.
Crikey! Local real estate market a little slow? If there's no appreciation, there's no equity. No worries. There are lots of markets and many are booming. G'day mate, this is Luke Chadwick, the Deal Hunter with Global Property Network. I spend most of my time travelling all over the US and the world, hunting down hot markets, great properties and expert agents. Give us a ring at 1-877-411-4GPN and we'll connect you to great agents in great markets with great deals. That's 1-877-411-4476. Well, mate, gotta go. To learn more, go to globalpropertynetwork.com or call us at 1-877-411-4GPN. Don't be shy. Do it now.
Equity Happens.
Is it happening to you? Learn more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. We're talking about finding low-maintenance cash flow properties, especially given what's happening out there in the market today. Our guest is David Campbell, back on the show talking about some of the things to look for in finding a cash flow property. You got the market to consider, then you have the property to consider. What, you know, if I'm looking at the low-maintenance side of it, David, and I really want to make sure that it's as hands-off as possible. It's not going to be a REIT where, you know, I don't ever have anything to do with it, but it's going to be as hands-off as possible. What are some of the keys to that? What's a big key to that?
Oh, the obvious answer is new, because it's anything wrong with it is going to be covered by a builder warranty, and you're starting at the very, very beginning of the depreciable life of all of the components in the home. And the worst cash flow when you buy a home is probably year one. And so if you're starting with a 30-year-old property with 30-year-old problems, but you're year one of the cash flow of the property, if something comes up, you're not going to have a whole lot of room to move. But if you've got a brand new property, especially something with a 10-year warranty that is covering the major structures of the home, that after 10 years of ownership, when things may occur in the home, in theory, your rents will have appreciated substantially, such that now that you've got the cash flow to deal with those problems.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And of course, today, a lot of builders, a lot of incentive to sell houses. Now, you can't just buy any new house because, again, what you're looking for is that overlay of a market where you've got sustainable drivers, good job, high rental income on properties, but where you can find something that's new. And you have to be strategic about it because in some markets, the only new properties are way out, right? I have to drive a little and save a lot, right? I'll commute an hour into work. That might not be the right trade-off. So you have to be strategic about it. But I think the newer the property, the better for sure. Now, let's talk about the financing on it because today interest rates are extraordinarily low. This is a great time to buy, especially for someone who is thinking, you know what, for this part of my investment portfolio, I'm going to buy it, keep it, and own it forever. I'm going to have it for 30 years or you know, it's going to be part of my retirement, if you will. And we can talk retirement in a minute. But I want to get it into a fixed rate loan. It's a great time to buy those.
There's
loans.
A couple of things on interest rates, I think, that we need to think about why I think the timing for this is great. Because right now we have interest rates that are not only low, but they're artificially low. They're being purposely driven down, overtly driven down by our government and the financial policymakers to try to make housing more affordable and to prop it up. And so that's part of the stimulus, is to have artificially low interest rates. Well, as an investor, I want to go grab as much of that cheap money. And they just changed the rule back. You know, it used to be you could have about 10 or so of these conforming loans in your portfolio, and then they dropped it. And then all of a sudden they realized, well, shoot, investors need to come back into the market and start buying property. So they re-upped it. And that's great, because now you can go collect some of these loans. So you have a chance to go collect a bunch of cheap money, lock it in for 30 years, secure it with streams of cash flows if you pick the right market and all the things we're talking about, knowing that the probability is, because of the amount of debt this country is taking on right now, that and interest rates are so low, artificially low, they really only have one way to go long term,
yep,
and that's up. And so if you can build your portfolio now and lock in solid cash flows with low maintenance, to your point, David, get a little bit of working capital available to yourself so that you can make it through the tougher times and ride that appreciation wave up as inflation comes back, this is the time.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting to do the math to say, if I bought now with low interest rates, here's my payment, versus if I wait and the property goes down 5% or so, but I have to pay a premium for that financing, it's very likely that your payment is going to be cheaper now than it would be later on a lower priced asset.
And your amortization continues from now and not a year from now.
Right.
This is a huge point, because there's a lot of people out there that are going, this is all well and good, but I think there's room to go down further, so I'm going to wait. Well, first of all, I'll tell you that there are markets that have already hit the bottom, where we're already seeing it go back up, especially when it comes to rents. And so even though the price might go down a little more, if rents are stable and strong and sturdy and I can get one today and I can find a property to get somebody in who's making my mortgage payment, if they're making all of my mortgage payments starting today, how much am I worried about, right? If this is a 30-year investment or 10-year investment or 20 years investment, does it matter whether I paid 150 or 147 or 143.5? 30 years, it's not going to make any difference. What's going to make the difference is getting in, controlling it affordably with that positive cash flow. Even a fourth of a point percentage difference in interest rate can knock the thing out of whack. I mean, this is a great time to buy.
One of my favorite things about today's market is you're seeing capitalization rates higher than interest rates. And whenever you've got, let's say, a cap rate of 7 and an interest rate of 6, that means you're making 7% on your down payment, but you're also making a 1% arbitrage on the bank's money. So if you're leveraged 5-1, then you can add that extra interest that you're earning on the bank's money onto what your return is, and now you're seeing double-digit cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk about quickly about retirement funds, because I think this is a great place. In fact, we've got a show we've scheduled for a couple weeks from now where we're talking great detail about retirement. And then we're going to do an event on the 18th of April in Northern California, helping people to understand how to take better control of their retirement funds, because people's retirements are way, way down. But as the three of us know, and many of our listeners may not, it is possible to buy real estate within your self-directed IRA or retirement fund. And at the price point of some of the of these kind of properties, it's possible people to buy right inside their IRA.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases for cash, you go buy $130,000 or $140,000 property and you've got that kind of cash in your IRA. And it's the type of investment somebody that maybe has been a blue chip stock investor, somebody that wants to buy a company that's going to have maybe slow capital appreciation, but pays a good steady dividend. You look at how many companies are cutting their dividends right now. And who's to say what a good, stable blue chip company is? Some of the biggest blue chip companies on the planet, GM is one of them, are on the verge of not even being around. And so someone says, hey, but that's the type of investing I want. Well, a long-term rental property that's paid for with no leverage is not going to create a lot of, appreciation, equity growth rate, if you will, on appreciation times leverage. But it is going to produce cash flow streams. It is going to produce long-term appreciation or long-term equity, even if it's just through the pay down of the loan, if you put a loan on it. And so it's a way for those types of investors to participate in the real estate market. And again, as I know we're going to go into great detail on in that coming up show, people just don't even know that they can do it. They think they're stuck in the stock market, and that's just so not true.
Absolutely. In fact, I know, David, you work with the investors in a creative manner, and that sometimes people have money in their IRA, and it's not enough to buy a property, but it's certainly enough for a down payment. And you bring that in a partnership with someone who can qualify, maybe even live in the house, that can be a great opportunity.
Absolutely. We help match IRA investors as well as people that have the ability to get financing, but they maybe not have the cash to contribute to a project. And by marrying those two investors together, there's a win-win situation, an IRA investor and someone who may not have been able to purchase now as a property.
You know, the thing long-term about being a real estate investor is you have to look at the landscape, what the market gives you, and then make decisions. When prices are going up like crazy, great. Make hay while the sun shines as an equity investor. When things are slower, this is a great type of investment. And you know what? You're never going to be hurt by putting at least some of your portfolio in just to a simple, boring, if you will, cash flow investment that spits out a couple $100 every month. I mean, how bad can that be?
I think it's fascinating that the CalSTRS Retirement Fund, which is one of the largest retirement funds in the country, actually increased their real estate holdings substantially. And they're one of the big guys. And if you're wanting to follow what the mutual fund managers would say, that mutual fund manager is saying real estate is the way to go.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is we've talked about this in the last, couple of months, but in a lot of ways, a good portion of the bottom of the market is
exactly out. Exactly.
You can definitely argue that, it might go down further. And in some markets, it's got a long way to go still, but a huge amount of the downside is already out of the
market. Well, and not only is most of the downside gone, I think you could make that argument pretty safely. Only time will tell. But the other thing is there is intrinsic value. I mean, at some point, a property doesn't go out of business. It doesn't. I mean, it's not going to shutter its doors, if you will. I mean, it's just not going to disintegrate. Since the asset itself is the thing. I mean, when a company like you mentioned Circuit City, right? And they rented, I believe, all of their properties, or at least all of their properties. But whoever owns those properties, those buildings are still there.
Right.
Now, how marketable they are, that's a different thing. But we've already covered that earlier. If you have a property that's extremely marketable and in demand in any economy, which I think the types of properties we're talking about are, then you feel like, okay, from a pricing point of view, a lot of the downside is gone. From a demand point of view, there's a lot of people that'd be interested in it. And there's no way it's going to go all the way down to zero. So at least I have a floor. Again, you know, from a timing perspective, it's hard to argue that now or in the next couple of months, you know, or the next the balance of the year is going to be maybe one of the best times in the history of our lifetimes as far as being able to buy real estate and really have it make good sense. It's, you know, affordable for the first time in, you know, a decade.
It's way affordable, not just in Indiana. There's lots of places.
And on the issue of potential price declines, if you're in a market where it's cheaper to own than rent, there's unlikely to be a foreclosure problem because of the person who's making their mortgage payment, they know if they screw up, they're going to be out on the street looking to rent the equivalent thing for more money.
There you go.
Especially when you're in that lower end of the marketplace, right? It's one thing if you got to come up with 10 or 15 grand to make your house payment every month when the house payments or the rents are $800 or $1,100 or $1,500. Lots of ways to go earn that money. All right. It's a huge topic. There's probably more than we could possibly cover in 1 hour of show. But we tasked Mr. Campbell here to put together some information for you. And we have a report, a free report about the keys that you must know if you're thinking about cash flow investments. Some really good information in that report. Here's what you do. If you'd like a copy of it, send an email to cashflow@realestateguysradio.com. cashflow@realestateguysradio.com, and we will send you out a copy of the report on the things that you need to know. Mr. Campbell, thanks so much for being on the program today.
It's a pleasure, Robert.
All right. And Russ, always a pleasure to have you there as well.
I'm happy to be here.
Thanks to Chaith, our engineer, to Matthew Pierce, our executive producer, to you, our loyal listener, and to all of our great sponsors. We'll see you next week on the Real Estate Guys radio program when we interview Chip Cummings and talk about his new book, Cashing In on Foreclosures and Short Sales, Finding Opportunity in Today's Market. May equity happen to you. See you next week.
This airing of the Real Estate Guys was brought to you in part by our sponsors. Corporate Direct. Get the edge in business and wealth building with asset protection, privacy, and tax savings. Call Rich Dad Advisor Garrett Sutton at 800-600-1760. Global Property Network. Have Goldfinger Luke Chadwick help you find properties from around the world. Call GPN at 877-411, the number 4, GPN. Equity Happens Institute. The Equity Happens Institute is dedicated to providing real estate investment education for effective action. To find out more about the Equity Happens Institute, call 866-900-4232. You can find out about these and our other valued sponsors on our sponsor page at realestateguysradio.com. And to learn how you can sponsor the program, call Matthew Pierce at 510-521-5100. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week on The Real Estate Guys.
Are you excited about real estate investing but not sure where to get started? Learn the secrets of building wealth through real estate in the comfort of your own home. In the Real Equity Home Study Course, professional investor Robert Helms and his team of experts show you why real estate outperforms other investments. Stop dreaming about investing in real estate and start doing something about it. Order the Real Equity Home Study Course today at realestateguysradio.com and click on resources. realestateguysradio.com.